So a lot of times when I sit down to record these episodes for the Grizz podcast, I feel like I'm just preaching to myself, like I'm speaking truths that I personally need to hear in the season I'm walking through right now. And you guys that are listening, you're just coming along for the journey with me. And honestly, like, I'm okay with that because I'm never trying to sound polished. I'm not trying to sound perfect. I'm just trying to keep it real. And my prayer every time I hit record is that something I say would help guide you, encourage you, equip you for whatever trial, whatever weight, whatever battle you're walking through right now. So in this episode, I'm going to once again talk to you about something I'm personally going through right now in this season of life, and it's entitled, When Feel Good Faith Dies. When Feel Good Faith Dies. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. Now here's your host, Jason George.
Drop! Get him, Jay.
Yo, yo, what's going down, my brothers from other mothers around the world? Welcome back to another episode of the Grizz. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2026, when I'm recording this. And I want to start by saying I am sorry I haven't dropped an episode the last couple weeks. Health has been kicking my butt a little, and I just wasn't in a place where I felt good about putting something out. And you guys know, I am not good at faking it. I'm not going to hop on here and pretend everything's good when it's not. And I also take this seriously. I want what I put out to be solid, something that's actually worth your time. I am real intentional about what I put on the interwebs. If it's not real, if it's not something I actually need to hear myself, then I'm not putting it out there. So, quick health update. My doctor ran some updated blood work to see what tick infections are active in me. Some of you know that since 2017, I've been battling Lyme disease and other tick infections, Babesia, Bartonella, EBV, and now the latest testing that I just got back is showing that I'm also dealing with something called anaplasmosis. I know, I'm like, what the heck is this? So it's something else that a tick gives you. Usually it is spotted right after a tick bite. I haven't had a recent tick bite that I know of, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. But the protocol is for me to start another round of antibiotics, which I started last night. It's called doxycycline. I've taken doxy before, and honestly, I swore I would never take it again because that med made me feel like death, like I was praying for Jesus to come. But never say never, right? So I share that with you guys because if I miss a week here and there, it is not because I don't care. It's not because I'm being lazy. It's because I'm hurting pretty bad. And seriously, I appreciate your prayers more than you know. It has been a long, hard journey with my health. Anyway, let's rip into the meat of this week's episode. It is easy to trust God when life feels good. Like when your body is healthy, when your mind is clear, when your prayers seem to get answered, when God feels close, when relationships are good, when things in life are really working out for you. It's easy to trust God when life feels good. That doesn't take much faith. Anyone can say God is good when everything in their life feels good. But that kind of faith, it hasn't been tested yet. You just have a feel-good faith. But what happens when it all shifts, when your body starts breaking down, when relationships fall apart, when the job doesn't come through, when the bills stack higher than your income, when your prayers feel like they're just hitting the ceiling and God feels like a million miles away? What happens when life doesn't feel good anymore? That's when we find out what your faith is founded on. Does it hold or does it fall apart when life doesn't feel good? Do you still trust him or do you only trust him when he gives you life the way you want it? That's the proving ground right there. That is the proving ground right there, because real faith isn't proven when everything is going well. It is revealed when everything seems to be falling apart and you still choose to trust God anyway. One of the greatest, manliest examples of this in scripture is the life of Job. Job was a righteous man who feared God. He lived with integrity. He had a great life, family, wealth, health, and respect. And in heaven, Satan came to God and challenged God, basically saying, Job only loves you because you've blessed him. And so God allows Satan to test Job, but not kill him. And I mean, everything falls apart in this guy's life. In a short time, Job loses his wealth, all of his livestock, all of his servants, his children, they all die suddenly. His health, he has painful sores covering his body, and he literally says, like, I cursed the day I was born. I wish I was never born. That's how miserable life is. And I also think, get this, I think his wife left him. She literally looks at him with all that he has going on when he's at his lowest moment in life and says to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. That's Job chapter 2, verse 9. And after that, she's never mentioned again. I think she walked out on him when he needed her the most. Now, maybe she came back later after God began to restore Job's health and prosperity, you know, or maybe he found a new wife. We don't know. Either way, when Job was at his lowest and needed her the most, she wasn't there for him. She said words to him that were devastating. Nothing encouraging, affirming, gracious, loving, just cold, bitter, angry. Then, on top of that, three of his so-called friends come along and basically say, you know, you must have sinned. Everything that's happened to you, this is all your fault. This is because of the sin in your life. They assume his great loss, his grief, and his physical suffering is God's divine punishment for his sin. So Job is wrestling and questioning and he's grieving, but he maintains his integrity. Despite everything that happened to him, he says some powerful statements. In Job 1, verse 21, he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. That's insane. Like, it's beautiful, but it's crazy because God has just allowed everything in his life that he treasured and valued to be taken away. And he just says, blessed be the name of Yahweh. Job 13, 15, he says, though he slay me, talking about God, though God slay me or though God kill me, I will hope in him. Do you hear that? Do you hear that kind of faith? Even if God slays me, kills me, I will still hope in him. Like, what does the devil do with that kind of a man? He suffers deeply. His feel-good faith was all gone. You see, feel-good faith is easy. Real faith is what's left when everything falls apart and you still don't walk away from God. Let me say that again. Feel-good faith is easy. Real faith is what's left when everything falls apart and you still don't walk away from God. Satan was convinced that Job would turn away from God once he lost everything that God had blessed him with. But Satan was wrong. And what blows my mind is that Job did not know that any of this was going on between God and Satan. Job did not know that this was a huge test that would be recorded in Scripture years later. Job did not know how the ending turned out. Like, he didn't read the ending of the book of Job. He didn't know that God was going to heal him and restore his prosperity. Job thought, this was it. I'm going to die. And listen to what he says in the middle of his pain as he stares death in the eye. This is Job 19, verses 25 through 27. He says, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will rise up over the dust of this world. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall behold God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me. So let me break that down, what Job is actually saying in that passage. He begins and he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Not I feel, not I hope. He says, I know. Everything around him was falling apart, but his confidence in God was unshaken. And then he goes on, he says, and at the last, he will stand upon the earth. Job is declaring that God will have the final word. Evil, suffering, and injustice don't win. Job sees the big picture of eternity beyond this life. And then he goes on, he says, after my skin has been destroyed, Job fully acknowledges that his body is breaking down. He's not denying reality. He's facing it head on. He's like, I'm dying. Yet in my flesh, he says, I shall see God. This is wild. Job is pointing to resurrection hope. Even if I die, he says, I will rise and I will see him. He goes on, he says, whom I myself shall see, my eyes will behold him. This is personal. This is not secondhand faith. He says, I will see him for myself after I die. I will rise and see him. And this is why it hits so hard, guys. Job had lost his children. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost the support of his friends. And I told you, I also think he lost his wife. I think he lost the love of his life. I think she walked out on him. And right in the middle of that, when his feel-good faith was dead, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. And God finally answers Job, not by explaining why, but by revealing his power, his wisdom, his sovereignty, basically saying to him, you don't see the full picture, Job, but I do. At the end, God rebukes Job's friends, Job prays for his friends, and God restores Job's life. He receives double the wealth, more children, and a long life. I don't know about you with what you're going through, but I need to be reminded of all of this because I reached a point a long time ago where my feel-good faith died. Let's take a quick break. And I'll drop some more motivation on you in just a minute. Hey guys, this episode is sponsored by Dexter Gordy, a top producing realtor in Central Georgia, selling everything from townhomes to forever homes. He is a true born and raised local agent you can trust in Middle Georgia. And he's passionate about making your next move seamless. The resources, knowledge, and the expertise that Dexter possesses is unmatched to ensure your sale or purchase is a breeze. Call or text my buddy Dex today if you're planning to buy or sell a home in Central Georgia. His direct number is 478-737-8899. And tell him the Grizz sent you. So the other day, I was reading something from Oswald Chambers in his famous devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. I try to read that daily, but sometimes I miss. And man, this one devotional I read for that day, it just hit me hard. He references John 16:32, where Jesus tells his disciples, the hour is coming when you will be scattered. And what he's basically saying is their faith was real, but it was disordered. It wasn't anchored in the realities of life yet. Then he drops this idea that God will actually allow you to be scattered into seasons of emptiness, not into success, not into comfort, into emptiness, where things feel dry, where life feels off, where you don't feel God the same way that you used to feel God. And what's the purpose of this? Not to destroy your faith, but to expose what your faith is actually built on. Then Jesus says, he writes this down, "You, the disciples, will leave me alone." And Oswald asked this question, have we done that? Not by walking away from God completely, but by only loving him when life feels good. Here's the gut punch, guys. Your faith can be real, but still dependent on feelings, still dependent on the blessings, still dependent on things have got to go your way. And then he ends this devotional for that day with this phrase, "What we need is unyielding spiritual fortitude." That's what we need, men, fortitude, the strength to keep going when life doesn't feel good anymore. Not hype, not emotion, just steady faith under pressure. Fortitude is showing up when you don't feel like it. Staying faithful when life feels heavy or impossible. Choosing obedience even when it costs you. Trusting God when everything in you wants to just check out. This is what keeps a man faithful in the valley, not just fired up on the mountaintop. And here's the takeaway. God will allow seasons of dryness, of emptiness, of feeling quote unquote scattered, not to break you, but to reveal what your faith is actually built on. My brothers, let's crush a big fat lie right now. The lie that says, if your faith in Christ is strong, then your life is all good. It's nothing but abundant blessings coming your way. Like, that's garbage. That's a satanic lie. That's not real Christianity. Tell that to Job, right? Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. You will be hated. You will be rejected. You will be ridiculed. You will be slandered. You will be persecuted. You will be heartbroken. You will suffer. The command from Jesus is carry your cross, not fly around in your private jet. Look at the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament. Constantly ridiculed, rejected, beaten, homeless, imprisoned, forsaken by loved ones, killed. So what are we doing believing, you know, if I follow God, if I truly love Jesus, everything in my life will be all good. Think about what you're saying your faith is founded on when you believe that. I mean, that's some sort of twisted contract that you made up. It didn't come from God. And here's what's going to happen if you keep believing that. Like, when life stops delivering all the blessings, your faith will fall apart. Listen, guys, there are moments, and maybe you're in one right now, where your body doesn't cooperate. Your health will eventually fail. Your mind will eventually turn on you. You will begin to lose your mental sharpness, your memory, etc. The storms of life will hit you, and you will have times where you feel anxious, panicky, weak, alone, rejected, betrayed, grieving, depressed, and it can even all hit at once, like it did for Job. Times when you're going to feel like God doesn't care, like he's forgotten about you. Like maybe he's left you, like he's a million miles away, like your prayers are useless. There are times when you're not going to like church, you're not going to like the Bible, you're not going to like Christian music. Even other Christians will annoy the crap out of you with their little bumper sticker fix-it phrases to try to help you through life. Ugh. Just like Job's judgmental friends annoyed him. Anybody else been there? Or is it just me? I don't think it's just me. There are times, there are seasons we go through when it's just dark and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You have to know You have to know down deep in your heart that God's still there. God's still there. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what you feel physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you have to know down deep in your heart that the Word of God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is not based on our feelings. That is based on Him, His Word. We put everything on that as believers. There's times when you're just going to feel like something must be wrong. Something must be wrong. But listen, what if nothing is wrong? You're like, you don't understand. Everything is wrong right now, Jason. What if nothing is wrong? What if everything is right about what you're going through and you just don't know it right now? What if this is the proving ground? The moment when your feel-good faith dies and real faith in Christ is born. What if everything you're going through is just one big test like it was for Job? What if God allowed the enemy to do something similar to you that he did to Job because he told God that you'd walk away if life didn't feel good anymore? Guys, listen to me. Pain and suffering isn't proof that God left you. Sometimes it's proof that you're truly following Him. If you want to follow Jesus, remember, He had a wilderness, a Gethsemane, a Judas, and a cross. Let me say it again. Listen to me. Pain and suffering isn't proof that God left you. Sometimes it's proof that you're truly following Him. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to remember, He had a wilderness, He had a Gethsemane, He had a Judas, and He had a cross. One of my favorite hymns that I grew up singing in church was this old hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. We sung it over and over again. And when I was a kid, I didn't even know what it meant. I just remember we sung it again, but it stuck in my brain. It stuck in my heart, man. Thank God that my dad, even though he made a lot of mistakes, he kept me in church all growing up. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, even sometimes he just dropped me off. He was like, you're going to church. And man, a lot was instilled in me with those old hymns. Listen to the lyrics. And then after you listen to the lyrics of this old hymn, some of you know it, I want to explain the amazing story behind the man who wrote this classic hymn. This is what it says. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Second verse, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, lest this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. Verse 3, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. It is well with my soul. And then the last verse, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Now, let me tell you about the man who penned those words. His name is Horatio Spafford. He was a successful lawyer in Chicago in the 1800s. He was a man of deep faith, and he was a close friend of the famous evangelist D.L. Moody. But his life was marked by devastating loss. In 1870, his four-year-old son suddenly died from scarlet fever. A year later, the Great Chicago Fire wiped out much of his real estate investments. So in 1873, needing to, you know, rest and reset, he planned a trip to England with his wife, Anna, and their four daughters. They were going there to support D.L. Moody's ministry and get away from the weight of everything that they had been carrying. And at the last minute, business kept Horatio back in Chicago, so he sent his family ahead on the ship, and he was planning to follow shortly after. But on the way across the Atlantic, tragedy struck. The ship ended up colliding with another vessel, and it sank quickly, and more than 200 people lost their lives. And out of those 200 people, all four of his daughters were gone, killed. Only his wife, Anna, survived. And when she reached land, she sent him a telegram with just two words, saved alone. Saved alone. Let that hit for a second. Saved alone. I mean, this guy, he lost his son. He lost almost all of his wealth because of the fires in Chicago. And now he's lost all four of his daughters. So he immediately got on a ship to cross the Atlantic and to go be with his wife. And somewhere along that journey, the story goes that the captain of the ship had got with him and said, hey, we're pretty sure this is the exact spot where the ship went down and your daughters were lost at sea. And when it got to that spot, he went into his cabin in the ship and he began to write the words to the hymn, "It is well with my soul." That's when he wrote that hymn. That's where he wrote that hymn. Not when life was good, not when prayers were being answered the way he wanted, not when everything made sense, but in the middle of grief, in the middle of the greatest loss he could experience, in the middle of questions that had no answers, he wrote, it is well with my soul. Guys, that's not comfortable Christianity. That's fortitude. That's a man who didn't base his faith on his circumstances, but on the character and the promises of God. And listen, that phrase, it is well, echoes, this is probably where he got it, echoes the response of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4, verse 26. Her son had just died, and somehow she still said, it is well, it is well. It's all good is what she's saying. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. Not surface level, not dependent on the outcomes, not fair weather, but forged in the fire. Real faith is not God makes me feel good. God fixes everything quickly. God removes all the suffering out of my life. Real faith is even here in the midst of it, God is still good. Even when the medical test results aren't what you wanted, when your heart is broken, when your finances are not what they were, when your prayers feel ignored, you say, it is well. Not because it feels well, but because God is good, he's in complete control, and no matter what happens, you are safe in his hands for all of eternity. That's a promise. So what do we do with this? When you don't feel good anymore, don't panic. Don't assume you're failing. Don't run from the discomfort. Instead, stay in it. Trust. Accept it. Keep climbing. Reach out for support, prayer, help from others, from those that won't judge you. That they don't have to have all the answers, but they just say, hey, I'm going to be right here with you through it. If all I am is an ear to listen and to pray for you, that's good enough. I mean, if Job's friends would have showed up and just done that, that's awesome. You see, in these moments, this is where your faith grows teeth. This is where it becomes unshakable. This is where your identity gets rooted deeper. Your trust becomes real. Your relationship with God, it matures. Listen to me. A faith that only works when you feel good is not strong enough for real life. A faith that only works when you feel good, it's not strong enough for real life. I'm telling you. God loves you too much to leave you there. So yes, feel-good faith has to die so that something stronger can live. Something like, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Something like, it is well with my soul. Something like, I don't feel it, but I choose to believe it. Man, I sincerely hope that everything from this episode helps you guys. I know it's definitely something that I need to constantly be reminded of myself. So stay tuned for a few closing items of Grizz Biz. Hey guys, first, if this episode encouraged you, copy the link, share it with a friend who might need to hear it, or your men's group. And if God has used this podcast in your life, don't just consume, contribute. You know, the Grizz Podcast is an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries, a nonprofit that is helping men pursue freedom, brotherhood, and growth rooted in Christ. And if you'd like to support what we're doing, go to our website, narrowtrail.com, click on our give page, or simply text the word give to 301-888-6860. Number two, wherever you're listening, hit the subscribe button, leave us a quick rating and review. That helps more men around the world discover this podcast. Also, we have opened up a new opportunity for individuals, businesses, or ministries to sponsor an episode of the Grizz Podcast. For just $75, you can sponsor an episode and receive a 60 to 90 second shout out on the show, plus your name or your business or your ministry will be listed in the episode show notes and across all podcast platforms on all of our social media. And we are also doing a bundle deal where you can sponsor multiple episodes if you want to. If you're interested, just email me at jason@narrowtrail.com and I'll send you the details. And one last thing, if you're struggling, guys, with sexual purity like most Christian men are, check out our climb teams. These are online small groups where Christian men pursue freedom together with biblical guidance, accountability, and support. Go to narrowtrail.com, click on the Climb Team page, and you can learn more. Lastly, I want you guys to get Covenant Eyes on all of your devices. Actually, now it's called Covenant Eyes Victory Shield. Get that on all of your devices and on your kids' devices to protect and monitor online activity. It is one of the wisest investments you can make. Go to CovenantEyes.com, sign up, and when you sign up, use the promo code GRIZZIN, G-R-I-Z-Z-I-N, GRIZZIN, and you're going to get your first month completely free just to try it out. Guys, protect yourself before you wreck yourself. Thanks for listening, my brothers. Shoot me an email. Let me know who you are and how the podcast is impacting your life. My email is in the show notes, and the Grizz is out.